Well, good morning, everybody. Hope you've had a blessed day so far. It's a joy to be here again to preach God's Word. That always intimidates me when I say I'm preaching God's Word, because I have to present God's Word in a manner that pleases Him before it pleases you guys. So that's always intimidating. So what we want to talk about today is being a servant. And that song right there is a beautiful song. Make me a servant like you. Like none other, make me a servant like you. Jesus Christ, make me a servant like you. How powerful. Guys, we have to humble ourselves before God to be able to do that. We have to say, take away all of Andy and put you in his place. Make me a servant like you. You know, when I think about the work of the Lord, the work of the church here, you know, I'm reminded of a couple of years ago, Derek and I were given a task, and it's a demolition task. When we were redoing the little White House up here, you know, Dave knows where I'm going with this. Well, we were given the task of tearing out all the sheetrock. And so you give me and Derek a sledgehammer and nobody else around, we're going to have a blast. Well, you know, we got to working in there and we're sweating, laughing. You know, there might have been a tear or two, but we were having a great time in there working together because it was, you know, it was fun. And then we got the bright idea. We said, you know what would be fun? If we ran through one of the walls. And Derek says, you know what? I've got a football helmet out in my truck. So there is video of this, of Derek going through a wall, grinning, having a blast. You know, the times that I've grown closest to people here at Lake Norman is the times that we've worked on things together. When we shed a tear, shared, we sweated, we've done all these things. We've grown together because we get to know each other a lot closer when we spend that time outside of worship together. And as the Lord's workers, that's us, that's you and me, as we grow and become stronger and more convicted in His truth, we are His workers then. And so we have to find ways where we fit in. You know, a lot of times we think, well, I can't do that job. I can't do this job. I'm just not able to do those things. You got to look. I know a man who is probably one of the hardest workers for the Lord. He gives everything he can. I wish I could be like him in that aspect. Because it takes more than just, you know, tearing down sheetrock. It takes more than just, you know, pulling up screws. It takes more. It takes your heart getting involved with one another. I see that every year with the youth rally. We saw that last Sunday night after services. How many people do we have here? 40 people after services, willing to give of their time for the work of the church. There's so many hearts that are so big in this congregation that, you know, when I have a need, they open their hearts to it. And that's the beauty of Christ, that we are able to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and not just mesh as Christians, but of fellow workers. We're all here to do the job that God has asked us to do. And we have to persevere. We have to be strong in our faith. We have to have the willingness to humble ourselves. No job is beneath you. The heart of a servant, make me like you. In God's word, I might need your help starting out, we're called to persevere. If you want to turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he promised he is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on, how we are to encourage one another to do the will of God. Let us do that. Let us not give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. As Christians, we are to spur one another on, to encourage, to get them out of their comfort zone, to get them involved in areas that they never thought they would be. And there's nothing like seeing somebody that thought that they never could get up and lead a song, and when they get up there and lead a song, they find a new passion. I remember when Jesse first started leading songs. Oh, it's pitiful, but but he knows I love him, and he persevered though. He spent time practicing, you know, those train wrecks like mine this morning during Bible class when I led the song. It sounded good in my head, but it just didn't come out right, did it? But we're supposed to spur one another on, to encourage one another to do the will of God, to say, okay, I know that you're not comfortable doing this, but I think you can do it. I think you can really do these things, to push them along, to make them feel like they're more a part of the work that's going on here. And that's what you have to ask yourself. Are you part of the work that's going on here at Lake Norman? Are you involved in the activities that are going on around here? We have so many areas that need help. Evangelism, I've been talking about that for 2 quarters now. We've got to get out and reach the community. That should be our number one priority, is to reach those who are lost. Then there's edification. There's all these different areas that we can encourage and spur one another on to do the will of God. And that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. All right. Well, I skipped one there. Go back one, Jesse. All right. Now we are. Yeah. All right. We're brought together to serve God. That's our purpose. We're to serve God with everything we have. And when we read his word in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, he said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end. So our number one purpose, share the gospel. Everybody can do that. Everybody can share the gospel by your demonstration of how you live for God. That's how you share the gospel. That's going to open your doors. But we're also to do other jobs. We're also to be concerned about the widows and the orphans, the ones that are lost in this world that don't have anybody to take care of them. And I jumped ahead, but I'll go ahead and read this verse here. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So that's where I got to this point here. We need to look for those who are needing help. You know, the widows that are, you know, they've lost a loved one. They need help. They need love. They need caring. In James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accept as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. All right, we also have to feed the hungry. Is there work to be done in Lake Norman? You know, we talked about the food shelter that's in Huntersville. You know, they feed over 50,000 people a year. Think about that, in Huntersville. That's how many people they feed. And there's people that are not only hungry for food, but they're hungry for God's word. Are you involved in the work? Are you involved in what God expects of you? It says, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And we think of those situations right there, people being outside of the church. Are you involved with the members of this congregation? There's members of this congregation that may have those very needs that are listed there in those scriptures. Do you know those things? Do you know one another? Your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, as one of the elders here at Lake Norman, I'm reminded daily of the importance of that role. It's a humbling aspect. because we're responsible for your salvation. And each one of us should be concerned for one another's salvation, to work together, to know if you're struggling, to know if you're hurting, to know if you're falling away from God. We need to be part of you to know those things. And that's up to us to be involved in the work that's here at Lake Norman. Each one of you have that opportunity. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. In Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart and all your mind. As working for the Lord, not for human masters. You know, I wish we lived in a world that was like Carolina Bible Camp, where from sun up to sundown, we're doing nothing but praising God, working hard for Him. All of our decisions during those days are for God. And as Christians of the church here at Lake Norman, of God's church, we should have that mindset that from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed is worried about those who are lost, those who are struggling, the work that needs to be done. And there's so much work that needs to be done. See, there's a help wanted sign. A help wanted sign. It says, positions available, off shifts. Start up, build up, help up. Apply today. What position do you want to fill? That's a question we each need to ask ourselves. Where can I fit in? Where can I help? Where can I do the will of God here at Lake Norman? But you know, I could probably ask you, how many people in here have filled out an application? Everybody raise their hand, right? All right. When you fill out an application, you got to go through the qualifications to make sure you meet those qualifications, right? You know, years ago, quite a few years ago, in high school, we had this shop teacher, Mr. Waterman, and this is in wood shop. And, you know, if you're cutting up or something like that, I'd always hear him say, get your feet wet, son. And his words were, get busy, get to work. And if you were standing around doing nothing, that's what you'd hear. Get your feet wet, son. And everybody jumps to attention then. You know, the qualifications for a Christian, one, you have to be a Christian, you know. But there's something special about God's Word. If we look at Philippians chapter 2, there's a few more scriptures I want to read than what's up on the thing. In Philippians chapter 2, starting in the very first verse, it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. And this is where the qualifications come in. You know, when you're a worker for God, you got to have the right attitude. The right attitude is going to, you know, I said this in class earlier, stinking thinking doesn't get you anywhere. But if you have the right attitude, and I can remember this a couple years ago, John and a few others were doing some, it was outreach work down here in Huntersville. There's a lady that needed her house painted, and the inside and out. And my heart wasn't right when I showed up. All I could think of is the email I'm going to send the elders when I get back. And I remember sitting there just picking that thing apart, picking it apart. There was good work going on, but my heart was not there. It was not there to do the will of God. It was to say, those guys don't know what they're doing. But at the end of the day, we're to work for God. And our hearts have to be in the right places before we go anywhere near serving another person. We have to make sure that we're willing to give God everything. To humble ourselves before God is something that takes a lot out of a man. To get rid of self, wow. So our attitudes have to be right. It says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And we must be humble. We talked about that just a second ago. It says, who being in a very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. No job will be beneath you. You know, years ago, when we first moved into this place, I can remember we had a big fellowship day. and somebody went in the bathroom and flushed a diaper down the toilet. We had to dismantle that toilet, take it out back, and clean it out. No job is beneath you in the work of the Lord. You've got so many things that you can be doing, so many options. We must have a servant heart. That goes back to my point about when I was helping John and him. My heart wasn't right. I wasn't there to do God's will. It says, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. That's what we have to do, is to humble ourselves before God and be a servant of his. You know, we sang this song, it was just before the scripture reading. It says, pierce my ear, O Lord my God, take me to your door this day. For I will serve no other God, Lord, here I am, stay. For you have paid the price for me, with your blood you ransomed me. Now I will serve you eternally, Lord, I am here to stay. And the chorus is, so pierce my ear, O Lord, my God, take me to your door this day. For I will serve no other God, O Lord, I am here to stay. How powerful is God's word when we see the example that's set in Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Give me just a second to get there. Well, you have that. Let me see your Bible. Fidgety today. All right. Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. It says, now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years. And in the seventh year, he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him a son, or borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Are we willing to allow God to do that? Are we willing to serve him with all we have, to pierce our ear, to have that conviction, to be that devoted to God's work? We must have a commitment like none other. When I say that, I mean, people are going to say, you're really doing that? You're really that passionate about God? They've got to see that in us. And being found in his appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, to be imitators of Christ, dearly beloved children. Before we do anything in the work of the Lord, we have to have the mindset of Christ. We have to be willing to put him on in baptism. But you know, there's a commitment problem. Are we committed to the work of the Lord? There's a commitment problem. Are we committed to the Lord? You know, we as Christians, we find ourselves sometimes struggling and not feeling we're a part of the work that's going on. And we fail to see that there's a lot going on that we could be part of. So I challenge you as brothers and sisters in Christ is to get active, to live out your faith. You know, I almost want to say pinch one another. Reach over and pinch them. You know, well, he did that. See if they're alive. See if they're willing to work. That's spurring one another on, isn't it? Get their attention. Show them you care for them. Show them you love them. Show them you want them to be part of the work here at Lake Norman. That's the challenge that we all have to do. Remember this, I want to say fad that went on a couple years ago. I don't know how many millions of these little bands were sold. What would Jesus do? That's the mindset we should have, though. when it comes to an activity or an event or something that's going on here, a job that needs to be done at the church, what would Jesus do? What would he do? What would he do? And then ask yourselves, well, what am I doing? Am I actually getting active? Or am I just sitting there doing nothing? Jesse. Back to 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not vain. You know it's not taken for granted when you're doing the work of the Lord. As Christians, we've got to get busy. We've got to get active. We've got to be willing to work for Him, to do His will, to do the very things that He asks us to do. We went through Philippians chapter 2, and we looked at all the examples of the descriptions of what we should be like, and that's being like Christ. So let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So what will it take for you to be a worker for the Lord? What will be your motivation? What's going to spur you on to do His will? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 11, it says, "Since then, we know that it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised." Right there, the very last part of it, "for Him who died for them and was raised again." So in all of our efforts and all of our work, we should be mindful of what God has done for us, to send His Son down, to die for us, to give His only Son for us, so that we could have hope to be with Him in heaven. Now, there may be some here that aren't even part of the work here yet. There may be some here that don't even know what it means to be a Christian, don't even know what it means to be part of God's family. And you have that opportunity today to be part of that family, to hear the Word of God is what's taught to us in Romans chapter 10:7, and then to believe what is said, to have confidence that what is said is true. We hear that in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. We must repent. We must turn away from the things that we're doing. Turn back to God, to give Him everything we can, to repent. Stop going in the wrong direction. That's Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Then we must confess that He is Lord and Savior. There's nothing more beautiful than hearing somebody confess that before they're baptized. To hear that question asked of them, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God?" And to hear them say, "Yes, I do." The powerful things that God can do. And then we must be baptized. In Acts 2:38, we're given that example. And then finally, we're to remain faithful for the rest of our lives. That's the key to our salvation, is to be a worker for the Lord. So I challenge you today to find some way to be part of the work here at Lake Norman, to spread the gospel, to be an impact in your world. So if you have any needs, you're welcome to come this morning as we stand and sing.
You've been to Jesus for the cleansing fire. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as
snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments